We want them to be comfortable, but almost after we've provided that. Don't come in and be too fucking comfortable. And
You know, kick your feet up.
Like, damn, you know.
Throw your dick on the desk.
Man. Right.
Yeah, I'm not doing that again. Welcome to another episode of the Tattoo Guardians podcast. Tonight, we're going to go over such things as what exactly is a tattoo guardian? Are you a tattoo guardian? We also discuss, are you like me where you have a certain situation where you know you need to grow and you need to change, you need to try different tools, different needles, but you're just so stuck on your ways that you're afraid to move forward and try that. We discuss that and much more tonight. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, welcome back to another episode of the Tattoo Guardian Show. You know what it is. I'm your host, Mr. Matt Clemmer, with our brother Hip, who's continually helping to inspire people.
Hello.
And the legend, our brother, Mr. Joshua Carlton. You got the three of us tonight. And you know what? Tonight's episode is going to be awesome for several reasons. One, because we don't even know what we're discussing, but our brother Josh here has a question to pose to us that I think is going to be beneficial for all you tattooers listening. So without further ado, here we go. Brother Hip, Brother Josh, how you guys doing tonight?
Doing good. Glad to be back home. As some of you know, we'll put a link down in the description from the podcast before, but I actually flew out to see the boys in person, did a podcast live.
Man.
It was awesome. I had the honor of tattooing Hip. Actually, a super important tattoo to Hip. You know, all tattoos are important, but sometimes some are a little bit extra special. So,
it
was a real honor, man. I'm super, honestly, it's one of my favorite tattoos I've done in a long time, too. So,
come on.
Cool.
Fuck yeah, dude. That feels dope,
man. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Everyone loves it. It's itchy like fuck right now. I just want to reach down there and just go to town, but I can't.
Wake up scratching.
right. Mm. At least it's far enough from my body that I have to get in an awkward position to scratch it. So I think I would wake myself up.
Man. You know, I got to thinking though, you know, I spend a lot of time in my head, which isn't the best place to be sometimes, but on the flight there and, you know, and on the flight back, you know, I was thinking about the different techniques I was using to tattoo you with, you know, and, you know, how kind of sometimes you'll find yourself going, man, I know I should probably get a 7 Magnum out, but I'm so used to this 9 Magnum or this 17 Magnum. And even though my job would be easier and kind of like force yourself to do something that you're making your job harder than it needs to be, you know, it's like, am I alone in that? Or are you guys and other tattooers listening? Do you have this like, this is my setup, this is what I do, even though I see the guy next to me do something that clearly is an easier, better way? No, I'm fucking stuck in my way and I'm not going to change. You know what I mean? Like, do you guys ever experience anything like that?
Are you saying that it's harder for you, or you're causing yourself more difficulty because you're telling yourself like, why don't you switch this, and you're refusing to switch to it and staying with what you've been working with?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just like afraid of change. You know what I mean? Like, I used to only use a 5 liner and a 17 mag. And for a long time, I only used a 17 mag.
Yeah.
So it was really difficult to get me to try something else. And, you know, I'll see a tattooer working and they'll be getting a result that's beautiful. And I can look at their setup and go, oh, I see why that result is happening. Yet in my brain, I'm like, how can I make it happen with my way without switching over something? So I guess it's just from tattooing for a long time, I know this works, and I know I've experimented in the past and been like, oh, whoop, that doesn't work. You know what I mean? So there's that fear, right? There's that fear of like, you know, is it going to not end well? You know what I mean? But like I said, I live in my head a little bit. So like, I think about these things a lot. I was just really kind of curious if other tattooers kind of fight that as well, you know?
Well, and it's wild to me that you're asking, Josh, because the way you ask that question, most of us, me being a tattooer who's a listener to that right now, it makes me think of either the way I'm comfortable doing it, the way I've always been doing it.
Yeah.
Versus learning a new way or a new technique and trying to apply it. But knowing who's asking this question, someone like yourself who has studied relentlessly for the past 30 years and has gone and has absorbed new techniques, new styles, new tricks from your equipment to your machines, to your depth, to round shaders other than just your 17s you used to. Meaning I feel like you've learned so many different ways and techniques. Now you've got a big tool belt, an arsenal of things you can pull out of your bag at any given time versus most of us who, like my tool bag of tricks, I may have four compared to your 34.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and I was mentioning, you know, when I was tattooing, you know, Hip, and you were there, we talked a little bit about that, where I had, I feel like even though it's been 30 years, I've kind of recently discovered that for me, that is the answer. You know, I had this tool bag, right? But I just kept reaching for the same tool. I had all these new tools, these better tools, you know, and I just, I'm a creature of habit, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I guess it's probably a lot like everything else in life. Like, you're not going to lose weight or stop shooting heroin until you're goddamn ready to. You know, and so I think that it falls into that same category of as of how we're creatures of habit. So there might be an answer out there, but if you're not ready to do that, it's just not going to happen.
Well, and you brought up the fear of change, and that's one thing, but even if someone can get over that enough to try that new technique, then the application of it is a whole nother fucking mountain. For example, since I got to sit with you last week and watch you tattoo Hip, you know, I learned so much from sitting with you, and I learned more or was even more inspired than I have been in years. Right. Awesome. Hip even mentioned like it was cool for him to witness. It's almost like the first time he witnessed me standing over a tattoo or asking questions and learning. And it was really cool. Anyways, I did a tattoo after you left. It was Szechuan. And I was basically trying to do the pendulum like you do, like I watched you do all day, like what Hip does. And Hip came and watched me, and I was I wasn't applying it right. It wasn't working out. I wasn't doing it right.
Well, I wouldn't even say that. I would say it was like your first time really. You reminded me that night. You reminded me of me every time I go to a seminar and learn something new.
Yeah.
And I instantly want to apply it. Like, he even got the opaques out.
Oh, yeah. And I, for the first time in my life, made my own ratio.
Nice.
Like you do, like you showed me last week. And so I did 100 and 75 and 25 or whatever. Well, I forget, or 80 and 20 or but 50 and 25.
But from you're a fucking tattooer who's been doing the same exact way.
Yeah.
For fucking 12 years. And now all of a sudden you're trying to fucking completely rearrange the way your hand works and your motion and pay attention to the, to get everything precise with the stencil. And you just made your own inks. So it's, and you were using my Pneuma. So it's like, you've got everything.
A bunch of new stuff. Yeah.
All new in my hands. That's why he was asking me, how you liking it? And I was like, I really don't know. I got a new machine, a new cartridge. I've never, and I'm trying to do a new technique. And it ain't really working, but I don't know what the culprit is. Is it this new machine? Is it this man? And I start switching shit out. I did let you use
new needles, too.
New cartridges. Yeah. And not really, to mention, I haven't tattooed in a while, so it was like, fuck.
But and, I could tell by his hand motions that, like, he was, it was tough to innovate what he had learned, and it just wasn't translating well. But now, like, if he was to keep that up and have that discipline, it would eventually pick up and there would be that breakthrough. But I could tell.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's a perfect example because, you know, you have this new thing that you see somebody else do that you, you like the results, right?
Yeah.
And then when we try it, how quickly do we buy a new machine, use it twice and go, nope, not for me. But maybe if you stuck with that machine, it really, really would be better. You know what I mean? And so that's what I'm talking about, because there's artists out there that are doing certain techniques and I'm like, these results are amazing. I want to add this into my tool belt. But it's, you know, we're all kind of similar as far as, like, if it doesn't work, amazing. You know, my wife always has this saying, she jokes around about that. She knows that she needs to practice more because she says in her brain, she always says, no work, just best. You know what I mean? And I think we all suffer from that a little bit, where we just want it. After 30 years, I feel like I should be able to pick up any tattoo machine and it's that fast, but there's little nuances, right?
Yeah.
I hear amazing things about this Pneuma tattoo machine, but I bet you my first tattoo with it would take me a little longer. You know, I'd be like, oh, okay, I love this about it. I'm not sure what's happening here. Hey, Hip, did you notice this happening? You know, but you know, there's that diminishing return. Like, at what point is it really worth it to keep moving forward? For me, that motion, the pendulum motion, was very worth it. It changed my whole career. You know what I mean? But I struggled with it. I would do it. Oh yeah, I would do it and I'd wipe it off and there'd be like, I was just raking in the sand and it would scab up. You know what I mean? I was like, what the fuck is Phil Garcia doing that I'm not? You know, and then just over time, little nuances, twisting the machine a certain way. I wasn't pushing hard enough. I was being a pussy and I was afraid to, you know, so I just would go in too light. And then, you know, when you get scabs, it's not so much from going too deep, although of course that's not a good thing to do. It's much more just chewing up that top layer. You know what I'm saying? So when you need saturation, you know, learning to push a little bit the right depth, you know?
Yeah.
But I did struggle, Matt. I did struggle with it. And for me, it was worth it. It might not be for you. You know, you have to find your own voice, obviously. You know, I know we talk about that a lot, but
yeah. Well, and that, you know, because by me trying it and I was struggling, the temptation when you're trying something new, the temptation, if it's not working out for you, just go back to your old way of being immediately, even if it's in the name of, I need to finish this fucker tonight or this session and it needs to look kind of good. So how long am I going to fuck around and fuck this up and it ain't working out, which you witnessed me try it, you know, and then in certain spots and due to time, I'd go back to my old way just, and this was just session one, but then in areas I would try and pendulum again. And so, yeah, in those seasons of trying something new, transitioning, it's kind of like not being quick to give up. And how much time do we give ourselves for the transition, you know, versus me just. And so I haven't given up. It makes me, I'm going to try again my next tattoo versus being like, well, that didn't work. I tried it for 5 minutes. I suck, you know.
Right.
But I was glad. And I think it was easier for me to not give up because I've not only seen the results, but I see him in person. I got to watch you do it in person. I get to watch Hip do it. And he was there watching me and he put gloves on to sit down and show me how I was like not doing it right.
Right.
But at least not the way you do it. Right.
Well, yeah, it was just he wasn't picking up. He was just basically raking side to side.
Kind of more of a scrub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was showing him how, like, I have a bounce.
Almost like he's going, punching in, literally bouncing off of it, like a trampoline.
It's I always think of it like an airplane taking off and landing. You know what I mean?
Okay. Okay.
I think just that transit, because for me, the goal is saturation in the middle and then soft on the edges. So it's just, it's like automatic tattooing. My, my next value is going to blend into that value really easily, or my next color. And I do feel like once you dial it in, I know tattoos hurt and it is what it is. I think it hurts a little less. I'm sure your tattoo sucked on your Achilles tendon, but it would have been way worse if I was just fucking in there just grinding. You know what I mean?
And you, when you're fully saturating or packing something solid black, you still pendulum?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, if I'm doing just a huge area of black, I might change it up a little bit. But I do find, once I started seeing my tattoos heal really, really solid, it was difficult to go back to anything else. Yeah. It was like I was getting the results that I had like dreamt about for years. It was, you know, that's why I don't like to bother my clients, but I ask every client about 7-8 days later, hey, man, I don't want to bother you. Would you mind sending me a photo of it healing? You know, it doesn't have to be a great picture. I just need to kind of monitor it and, you know, knock on wood. But for years now, it's most of the time fantastic. You know what I mean? My healing technique and my pendulum technique, they work for me, you know, it's not, does it mean it's the only way though? You know what I mean? It just took me years to kind of go, okay, this is for me, you know?
And that's even with color.
And see, for me, let's say like, I don't know, fucking I'm blending, you know, black and a fucking deep red, like on my stencil, if I have a line where I know it's starting to fade at, I'll go up there and then I'll pendulum that. And
you do get the blend first.
Get that blend in there. And then I'll go back to the start and fucking pack all the way up to that blend.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. See, and I think that's a great way to do it as well. In fact, I was doing a cover up not too long ago and I noticed that I just wasn't doing the pendulum motion at all. It just never happened. What I was doing was working really good. Much more circle based, you know, and I thought to myself, that's funny because I was really happy with the tattoo, but I was like, it just automatically happened. And I think that's the tool belt. I think that's my muscle memory of like, this works for this area. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I guess this is a long way of kind of comparing it to other things in life. Like I said, if you are trying to lose weight or something, I think it's, I'm very interested in that if you're not ready to do it. Like, have you ever had somebody ask you, Matt, how do you do these beautiful portraits? And then you kind of break it down and you'll be like, maybe you're going to say, well, I found that when I slow my hand speed down and I do this, and they'll be like, oh, I'm a fast tattooer. And it's like, they're not ready.
Right.
Because they're just making excuses right out of the gate. It's like, I want to be doing as good as Matt is, but I'm just going to keep making excuses of why it's not for me.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So as a younger tattooer, I'm sure I did that, but I find myself now, I'm not trying to be some hero, but if I walk around a convention and I see a 19-year-old kid that's doing killer work, I'm going to listen to him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Instead of having that automatic attitude of, I got 30 years in the, before you were fucking born, I was tattooing, son.
Right.
It's like, if I see something that he's doing, I'm going to be like, huh, mm-hmm. I wonder, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's a smart attitude to have to
keep
continue growing. Because I see it all the time. Because I'll be like, hey, did you guys see that 19-year-old kid in the corner? And they're like, they're too busy fucking off, you know, sucking their own dick, mm-hmm. but how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you could be getting a little better from that kid and this kid over here. And mm-hmm. even the bad guy, you'd be like, not doing that. mm-hmm. Not, don't know why he's here, you know? you know?
I love that, Josh. And that just speaks to how you continually walk in mastery and mastery of yourself and of this craft. And most dudes, even like martial artists, like any true masters, always are focusing on mastering and always mastering the basics. You know,
fundamentals are where it's at. And, you know, you're just applying the three indispensable principles is honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness.
100%.
You know, you have to keep your teachability up. And it's funny that, like, this is a topic because so after you left, my Newmans came in, all three of them. And so I got new machines. So I set them up the way, like, they're explained, and I had a brief phone call with Carson Hill, and he kind of gave me a little rundown. And I did some black and gray freehand. I like markered some shit on and did it, and I loved it. I loved the effect of it. I loved the way it looked. You know, you can kind of look at a tattoo at an angle and see if you got any areas chewed, and there wasn't nothing chewed. And then the next day I did another black and gray piece. And then Sunday, this last Sunday, I thought, you know, I'm going to try to be Joshua Carlton and fucking I made a hawk and it's a cover up for my wife. And it was color. So I'm like, cool, I get a chance to use this color packing cam. I believe that's what they're called. They're just little plastic pieces that you interchange. But
with a different waveform.
They got the different wave. Yeah, waveform.
Which is genius, by the way, but go ahead.
And the thing is like the science behind it, actually, when you get it and you look at it, it's so simple.
I know, right?
And it's ingenious. But so like I'm digging it, and this also plays a part into like that whole tool belt and being stuck on certain things because, boom, I show up. There's a kid that wants to like watch and I'm like, yeah, that's cool. He's only got till 2:00. I start at noon. My wife, she wanted to numb up first. So like she didn't communicate that till we first get there. So now already I'm in my own head feeling like I'm crunched and pressed on time. When you were tattooing me and explaining shit to Sean and Matt, I was like trying to overhear it and I would hear what needle groupings you were using. And then I would try to feel and try to guess why you were doing it, what you were using, to just try to be in the learning process as much as I could without being able to see nothing. And that spot on my Achilles heel where you was like, yeah, I'm just fucking scribbling with a 7-round this way. And then I go back and cross hatch it this way. And it's the most blackest of black. And I'm like, cool. A tool for my tool belt for when I tattoo Megan. Cause you know, I'm really digging the in focus, out of focus shit. And I would like to apply that to like the painterly style that you do, but then also like the strict precision that I've learned so much from Yogi. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm going to fucking kill this tattoo. Well, I'm already letting like all these bricks fall on top of me. I'm waiting for her to numb up. I'm behind the schedule of what I would like to be at. I go to start. The Numa's running great. Like it's packing color gray, and it's like I'm disobeying fundamentals, right? For starters, one of my favorite artists, just their process is DB Kane. Like I bought his video, his online video of him doing fucking Post Malone.
Post Malone. I got it too. Yeah.
And just how structured he is. Mm-hmm. He doesn't deviate because he's disciplined, and he goes all the darks. And then he goes and does all the midtones, and then even the lighter tones, and then the highlights. And I appreciate that. And that just feels comfortable. When I watched it, it felt comfortable. It felt like that's where I was supposed to be at. And sure enough, I've got what you were telling Sean in my head. So I'm like starting to pack black with the 11 mag, which is my go-to. And I remember you saying that shit, and you know, I sit and look at my tattoo and I see the texture in it. So I'm like, fuck it. Josh did it. I can do it. But every time I try to do something that I get from you, I always hear Sean in the back of my head saying like, yeah, he makes it look so easy. And then you try to do it and then your tattoo's just shit. And sure enough, like I'm sitting there doing it and I feel like I'm overworking the skin. Anyway, I get to a point like, and, you know, my wife, she's been around me long enough. The next day she knows something's up, and like, I'm trying to like have value for it, but I can at least be authentic with her. And I got to share with her kind of like my process in my head and where I made mistakes at, and like things, corners that maybe in my mind, I cut corners, but in the realm of like what we're doing, no corners were cut. It was just like, not cutting corners. It was like trying to learn some things that I was overhearing you talk about. And you know, I've gone through the pain, and a couple days have passed, and now I'm in the acceptance piece where it's like, you know what? It's a cover up. It's going to need a second session anyway. Cause like, I always try to cover shit up with things that you normally can't cover shit up with. And I have good results ultimately.
Yeah. Especially with multiple sessions. It's like nowadays with the pigments, I think it's realistic to happen, you know?
Right. Yeah. And so it's one of those scenarios, and it's like, you know what? I remember before really I started this in these little hole in the wall shops, there was an artist I look up to, and he always used to say like, thank God for second sessions. And at the time he said that, I assume that all you guys did these fucking pieces in one session. That's how naive I was. And now I really understand and like appreciate, like, you know, I'm glad for that second session. And it always seems like anytime I tattoo my wife, like I just am resentful of the tattoo. And it's like, of course, because I see it all the time now, and it's going to haunt me.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I think that some of the things you were talking about, particularly Matt, about trying to master something, and no matter how long you've been tattooing, trying to be the best version of yourself you can be. Like, you know, I think ultimately, because people ask us, I think to me, that's kind of what a tattoo guardian is. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you know, how can I be a better version of myself? You know what I mean? Tattooing is a hard thing to practice because it's permanent, right? So Hip is trying a tattoo on one of the most important, the most important person in his life. So he already has that stress, but now I'm going to practice new techniques on my wife forever.
Right. You know?
So, you know, we got fake skin and all that stuff, but as you know, it's not really the same. So yeah, I guess it's kind of a dichotomy. It's like, how do I get better, but I still have to practice on a human, and it's forever, you know? But I want to learn these new techniques. I want to better myself. So kind of circling back to me, that's kind of a loose definition of how I look at a tattoo guardian. You know, we always say, you know, what is a tattoo guardian? You know, are you a tattoo guardian? Like what is that? You know, and you know, for me, it's always, we've mentioned this, you know, leaving tattooing, you know, better than you found it. Yes. I think that's just a simple, important way of, we're not claiming to be the guardians of tattooing.
Right.
It's more so like keeping the history alive and moving forward at the same time.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And inviting others in to claim their stake in that as well.
Yeah. I never want any of our listeners to think that, you know, us three are sitting here like, we're the keepers of the realm. We're going to crack the whip on. It's nothing like that at all. You know,
right.
I mean, it's really an appreciation. I absolutely fucking love tattooing with all of my bones, my heart. I live it.
Yeah.
And I know that the people listening are likely similar. That's why you're attracted to this particular podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's been 30 years and the flame has just gotten bigger. It hasn't gone out. It's just gotten bigger. It might have blown around a bit, you know?
Yep.
But it's just here and it's bigger than ever. Mm. And I really do think that, I think that the late, great Paul Rogers said it best when he said, you know, a lot has changed, but a lot never will.
Yeah.
And I think that's something to remember, you know?
So good. So, so good. Well put, Josh. Well said. And man, he lives it. You know what I'm saying? Been tattooing 30 years. He was here last week. I got to watch him. Yes, in his level of passion, adoration for the craft, for the moment, for you as his client, the standard, you can tell, obviously, he has set, talking about upper echelon. Your whole approach, Josh, you know, because I've seen so many tattooers, I've been guilty on it, just like going through the motions on this, Pete. You know what I'm saying? But his level of passion and intensity was like equal to a beginner tattooer matched with someone at the world championships trying to do their absolute fucking best banger ever today, right now. You know what I'm saying? And your approach, your attention to detail, your openness on discussing your technique just around that earlobe or just where the sideburns are, like every little step was purposeful. And I was thankful that you were able to share that, not only verbally, but you were just living it. And that alone inspired me in a moment, almost made me feel guilty for all the areas I've been taking this for granted.
Well, keep in mind that, like, I think that a lot of that is my time in the game. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I forget that something might seem easy to me or make complete sense to me. And it just isn't it. The person that wants to know about it, they're just not ready to hear it. Mm. Like we've mentioned in the past.
Yeah.
I've had artists come up to me and they're like, man, I'm doing this technique. And they'll describe exactly what I've been telling them for years to do, you know, but they needed to kind of discover it on their own, or to understand it. And the same with me, like, you know, the pendulum motion is something I talk a lot about because it's something that really did help me. But I really, really did struggle with it for a while. Mm. Most of the things that I became known for in the industry, like the big Magnum guy, all that stems from me sucking at Magnums. Mm. I'd be like, how the fuck do you use a Magnum? How the fuck do you get white to go in solid? How the fuck do you do, you know, and all of a sudden it became, you know, Josh is the Magnum guy. Josh is the guy with all the white highlights. It's because I just fucking laser focused, like, I'm going to get this shit or I'm going to die trying to do it. You know what I mean? It's that David Goggins mentality. Mm. I thought everybody had it. My wife and I used to get in these arguments where I just thought everybody had the same drive and passion, but just didn't have the opportunities to get there. But not everybody's born with a motor. You know what I mean? So if you're a listener out there and you've got a motor, though, and you're unstoppable. We know that, right? Mm. We three know that you can definitely do it, but you got to have that drive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man. That's powerful. When you switch, because there was a time before you were doing pendulum. I mean, I feel like, you know, especially the old school fat circle motion, slow to fast and washing out and 45 mags and big areas. And so when you went to... And our hand speed was a lot faster. My hand speed's way faster than hips. And
a lot faster.
Just slowing down, you know, at first would make me think like, man, it's going to take him 10 years to do that tattoo, thinking I'd be faster. But somehow it's kind of like slow and steady wins the race, the tortoise and the hare, because even though it seemed like slower, he would actually get done before me when my hand was moving faster. Right. So that it didn't look That was deceiving, but that told me, like, well, there must be something to your consistency, even though it looks like you're going slow. The fact that you're consistent, you keep going, you're getting more done than, and it just looks like I'm doing more.
And man, did you notice, too, that I mostly got to one pass. I didn't have to go over and over. Like, obviously, some things had to be adjusted. But as to where I used to be a big fan of build it up, build it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's kind of like I'm trying to lay that. I'm trying to take my paintbrush and just go, here it fucking goes.
Commit.
And just, commit. You know, and it's a fucking terrifying way to tattoo.
Man.
But it's something that when it works, it's yeah. really something special, I think.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Hip?
Beautiful.
With what Matt was saying about like speed and thinking that like I, you know, it's going to take me forever. That was something that I just it picked up from Yogi. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, he always said, be a good tattooer, not a fast tattooer.
Right.
And I just have naturally, even when I was like dicking around in the joint, we would make, our machines and our battery packs, and the majority of the guys in there that were scratching would have four batteries running their handmaids. And it was just too much for me. I felt, I don't know, like it was causing pain. I didn't really know what chewing the skin up was. I didn't even know that was a thing. But I took two batteries out and ran extra slow, and it gave me like a smoother blend, a softer shade. And that's just kind of always, I've always felt like I was the slow guy, but then hearing someone that you put on a pedestal, you know, that you're learning from, say, be a good tattoo or not a fast one, just validated that like, okay, I'm on the right track. And it's weird because even now, like I'm in a weird space because, you know, for the longest time, like I took everything he said as gold, and, you know, even to the extent of, what his setup is, like his needle right. groupings, and I use that forever. But then, you know, I start getting inspired by more other artists and more people, and I start trying to maybe start using some rounds and bigger mags and even
your tool bag's mags. Growing.
Yeah, my exactly. tool bag's growing. And exactly. then like I'm seeing these dudes in fucking in Europe that are like just knocking out an entire thigh in a day. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, how are they being a good tattooer and a fast tattooer? And it's
exactly.
like,
exactly.
I'm
that's the shit that keeps me up at night,
dude. And it's like, you know, I'm not the longest in the game, but I think I got enough experience, like kind of going slow at my own pace where I can maybe start to try to like let the speed happen. Because when I first started like doing the techniques and things that Yogi was teaching me, like, I was really, really, really slow. And over time, being consistent at not deviating from what I was trying to do, just naturally, I was speeding up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would get faster because I was more comfortable in the technique. But now it's like, I just, you know, I want to have my cake and eat it too, man. Like, what the fuck? I want to, like, do all the things that I've learned from all these artists and, like, have hella coverage on shit.
Yeah. Well, and again, applying it, because Josh, how long? Two things. Mm-hmm. One, my guess to those dudes that are doing full thigh pieces in a day who are good tattooers and fast, to your point of one pass shit, I'm at least guessing they got that down. Like they're fully saturating one pass to keep going. How they do that perfectly every time, fuck, I still don't know yet. Josh is like, I watched him do it. But how long did it take you to figure the pendulum out from your old way?
It took me a long time, and I gave up on it for a long time. Because
did you? Okay.
Yeah, because so I tried it and was like, oh, not for me, like, you know, super quick. And then I would see other results. I'd see David Vega's black and gray work.
Yeah.
He's doing the same thing. Best black and gray tattooer probably in America doing this, you know. So I'm like, I need to revisit this, right? But it just wasn't clicking with me, and I think I just kind of dicked around with it here and there, and then it clicked. I remember it clicked at a convention. Every single piece I did at this convention, I did that way, and they healed so nice, and I was like, this is for me. It was like it was just like everything kind of came together at once. I think just like if you were practicing like riding a wheelie forever, like eventually you're going to get it. You know what I mean?
Well, that's encouraging, because I was discouraged the other night when I tried
it. Me too.
I just sat with you. I watch him do it. Why the fuck? I mean, again, like King says, y'all make it look easier than what it is. But that moment, I was so discouraged.
Right.
But it's good to hear that, hey, just because you didn't like fucking hit a home run your first at bat.
Right. Because yeah, I, man. You know, when I discovered Thomas Carly Jarlier from France, yeah, you know, he completely he never really, almost never veers from that motion, whether it's using even a liner. Wow. He's always, he paints that way. He just, it's rocking motion. And his work is like, to the point of like, disgustingly good. It's that like, Jesus, fuck, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Okay, I get it. You tattoo good, you know? Mm-hmm. And so because of him, I was just like, I'm just not going to give up. You know, Hip has one of his favorites, you know, Yogi. And so he's like, I'm going to do the same thing. Like, I want the exact same setup that Yogi has because I want to get those results. So I don't think Hip ever thinks that by buying the same ink caps, that's going to make him better. Yeah. But it is going to get him in the realm. Like, you play guitar, Matt, right?
So no, like, I don't actually.
Well, you've been around musicians and
that's
stuff,
right,
obviously.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, for me, when I would hear a band that I was wanting to emulate a style, I would buy the same pedal because I didn't think it would make me better. But it's like, I know I can at least dial that delay in, right, with that exact pedal. So if I buy the Pneuma, or if I buy whatever Thomas is using or Yogi's using, it's a better chance for me to get there, right?
Which is why I made my own Grays after you left.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So like for me, you know, I would struggle with like, I want to do this, but at some point, if it doesn't feel natural at some point, I worry about that because what'll happen to me is I will fixate on an artist and I will actually start kind of emulating them. And it'll be like, ooh, that kind of looks like this guy's work. Mm. And that compliment is almost better than my client that flew out to get a Josh Carlton piece.
Wow.
Right.
So, thank you.
Right. So like I'm on my own weird, like mental masturbation kick of like, it looks like so-and-so did it, but my client came to me for a Josh tattoo.
Yeah.
Fuck you them.
Know? Right. Yeah. So dude, it's this weird thing, right? It's this weird fucking thing because, you know, Hip is a phenomenal tattooer. I got to see a bunch of his work in person. It looks even better healed and in person. It looks amazing. It's bulletproof. But I see your influence hard. But it's not like you're trying to be a poor man's Yogi. I can definitely see where you're very, very influenced. But I still think you took it to, you're on that trajectory of, if you like this, you're probably going to like this. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Dude, I appreciate you saying that because like, man, I admire him so much, but at the same time, like, I don't want to just completely chew his style.
To the point, that
piece that you like that I got on Megan with the roses and the cardinal, those roses were actually inspired by Ulysses Blair. And I reached out to him and I was like, dude, you probably ain't going to mind, but I'm getting ready to do like this mix up piece and my flowers are kind of starting to look like yours. Is that all right if they kind of emulate that? And he said it was, but I ended up redoing the design and I made them more like how I would do them just because I don't know, it just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, I'm just, it's just such, it kept me so caged up because literally every day I would wait. It's to the point now where I've got to give myself space from looking at Yogi's shit in his page.
Sure, sure.
Because it just had me so contained and like I
so detained that if he wouldn't even post a tattoo on Instagram if he thought Yogi won't like this one, he would even post it.
And I completely get that. Even after all these years, there's artists that I admire so strongly that it's definitely unhealthy. You know what I mean? there's a lot to unpack there, you know, but I think it also drives me to be a tattoo guardian, to be my best, you know what I mean? And to take people with me to that world of let's be our best, you know? So I think ultimately it's a good thing. But like when you were saying you were slow, like if you are naturally slow, I think maybe that's the answer for you. But somebody might maybe need to be a little faster, not so fast that they're sloppy, of course.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that when I really slow down, I will do a technically nice tattoo, but it's boring as fuck. You know what I mean? I almost need that little like I need to stand up and look away and just kind of get that little whoosh, you know, but if I'm like sticking my tongue out of the side of my mouth and just holding my breath for 8 or 9 hours, it'll be really clean, and it'll just be like cool, an octopus. Mm. You know what I mean? So there's this bad, and I'm speaking completely from experience. I remember I tattooed a skull on a woman at a convention, and I was just in the zone, and I'm like, this is gonna be the best skull ever. And it was a really super detailed skull with like barely any background because my creative mind was gone. It was so focused on skull.
Yeah.
And it was like that. It was like you basically look at it and go, yeah, cool. You know? And it was like 8 hours later, but in 6 hours I probably could have done something just as powerful.
Yeah.
With a little bit more emotion to it. But that's for me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to tell somebody that's earlier in their career to speed up. You know what I mean? Like you've heard me say, I think everybody should tattoo a little faster than they think they should. That's once you know the fundamentals, of course.
Right.
You know what I mean? Please don't take that as like, you know, because I'm actually not super fast. I think I'm kind of normal. You know what I mean? I used to be really fast when I had a certain style. But I don't know. I think your tattoo was 5 hours or so. I think that's normal, you know?
Oh, totally. Yeah. You made real good time on it. You got it done quicker than I thought you would.
Tell him when you thought he was fucking up, that was blowing your mind and it just made the tattoo.
You son of a bitch.
Was the volume down?
Yeah, kinda. No, so like I think he's so you blew the top half of my dad's head off, which is fucking great and it makes the piece. But while you were doing it, Matt thought you weren't paying attention to the stent. He was telling me afterwards, like, dude, he was like, I thought Josh was like fucking it up and I was over there biting my nails watching him. And then when it come to an end and you start putting the highlights in, he's like, I never in a million years would dare to fucking blow off a forehead or, you know, not the forehead, but the, or whatever, the top of the head.
The hair.
Yeah, the hair. Right. And he was like, and he did it and it fucking worked and it made that piece like that much cooler.
And talk about creative, artistic, you know, and that was me, maybe the technical side. And I don't know if you remember because like, you know, his dad's got the white hair that kind of feathers back.
Right.
And of course, your style was real like painterly and blurred out around there. But I don't know if you remember, I felt like I annoyed you because I put my thumb at the top of where his head hair and was, and I asked you, are you going to tattoo right here?
Right.
Which was a football field away from where you were at with your mag at the time. It was almost as I felt like as one of those moments where, you know, and you almost looked up and you're like, I don't know, maybe not. Like, we'll fucking see. But, you know.
That's a great question, too, because I'm really all about aesthetics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I study a lot of charcoal painters and oil painters, and the looseness is something that I love as long as it can be translated into a responsible tattoo.
Yeah.
So I'm always taking big risks by altering somebody's portrait, you know, but I always think of like the artists that I loved, like Robert Hernandez and stuff, like where he'll, you know, he might've made the top of the head a fucking pile of sticks. Mm. You know what I mean? It's for real, you know, or like there'd be teeth coming out of it. So I do like to kind of say what's really important in this portrait, and it's the expression. It's the fleeting moment that you're capturing. So as I'm doing it and fully aware, like this is a little bit different, I'm just asking myself, does it look good? Is it still him? You know, it's like, it's kind of my version of this.
Dude,
you know
what I mean? But you're right. Cause the importance of the actual face you had, like the eyes, the nose, the mouth, even like all this was sharp in focus, and then it starts to blur out and then get real fucking Josh Carlton art.
Right.
You know, it's fucking because awesome.
If I spent 2 hours on getting every hair stroke perfect, you're getting closer to that. Wow. You nailed it. It's the best boring tattoo of it. So I did take a risk with putting a lot of emotion into it. Right. And that's where another, like you mentioned, second sessions, like if he was like, I love it, I don't really get why you did that. Well, guess what? In a second session, then we'll do whatever. You know what I mean? So I know it's on a friend of mine and I know that he's trusting me to be expressive. Yep. It's a tightrope walk for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like that's why I do more like a skull or a woman. That way I really have my way, but out of respect for Hip, I was like, I'm going to do this portrait. Are you cool with me making it painterly, and he was like dealer's choice. He seemed really open. So while I was doing it, I was with you, Matt. I was kind of like, here we go. You know, but I trusted myself, you know,
and it was beautiful to see. It totally worked out for you. It was a total win. So impressive, you know, because throughout the day I was watching you and learning, but I would watch you feel like I could decode or at least understand what you just did, why you did it. And I can immediately see how that the results like, OK, I can't wait to try that. Mm-hmm. But then when we got up to you know, when you trickled passed over into holy fuck, I wouldn't even predict or guess that, nor would I be able to be like, I can't wait to try that, you know, because before I try that, I need to become a better artist and grow. My nuts need to grow like three times.
But, and I wouldn't have tried it a year ago. I'm very focused on trying to make my tattoos look like. Somebody one time was like, I don't like tattoos, but that's art, you know, and that really resonated with me. It's like, I do love tattoos. I even love the folky tattoos. I love a good traditional. I just love tattoos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I also, it's just in my brain, I'm so attracted to this oil painting, whatever. But I always felt like it didn't fit with tattooing because it just wasn't responsible tattooing. And then when I discovered the power of strong black and contrast, I wanted to do it, but I didn't have the balls to do it, right? And then just slowly I started, even kind of recently, if you look at the women in the red dresses on my Instagram, we're talking a couple months ago. Like, this is relatively new for me. I paint like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I painted his, you know, dad's picture, I'd done the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But in your brain, as a painting, you're like, yeah, it's a super loose painting, of course. But as a tattoo, it's fucking scary. You know, it's super fucking scary.
Yeah, well, and it's one thing to either do an oil painting and then replicate it as a tattoo. Now you're just replicating your painting, even if it was digitally created, right? Mm-hmm. But, and I would almost, for me to like be the artist or grow a pair, I'd have to do all that in the design and then just replicate my design, trusting that my design had the artistic. But you had an artistic design, but then even when you're doing the tattoo, you kind of strayed from your own design. And that's when I was like, oh, fuck.
But it was awesome. I think some of it was the placement, you know, the tattoo, the room that I had, like the thought of just rounding the head off or whatever. It just kind of closed it off. And because I remember Hip looked at it at a break and it didn't realize. I took the background all the way up to another tattoo and he was like, oh, I didn't even know that. I was trying to make it fit this weird space. And at one point I was just like, you've got 30 years in this and you know, trust, does it look good? So you heard me, Matt, say a lot to you, natural, like, does it look natural? Or I would do something and I'd wipe it off and I'd go, see, I like that. I didn't mean to get that look, but I'm gonna build off of this.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that's where I feel like my job was mostly done once the face was him.
Yeah.
Now I can kind of like freestyle a little bit, a little bit of jazz with the drums. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it took me 30 years to get there. So, and I'm still, you know, as you know, you watched me afterwards too. I was frozen for a while because I was like, does he like his tattoo? And you know, I still go through these motions, you know, I don't think it'll ever go away, you know?
Man, that's fucking beautiful.
But you know, Hip said something recently, and I don't know if you came up with it or not, but it was beautiful. You're either going to win or you're going to learn.
Yeah.
And I think that's something I'd get that shit tattooed on my face. You know what I mean?
Like, dude,
that's where it's at, you know?
Who said that last night?
I did.
Was it you?
Yeah, that's what I've been telling my students for weeks now.
Awesome.
You had to have heard that from me some point.
Oh, yeah. Hip, you've taught me everything I know.
You're welcome.
Well, yeah.
You've helped inspire this person.
and you know, another person, and it seems like every time that they're tattooing or at a show I'm at, I'm super busy and can't just be a fly on the wall, but like Phil Garcia, even like the at the fucking Champions. And you know, you say you got the pendulum from watching him back in the day, but it's like, I don't know how fast this dude is, but I know that at World Champions, he showed up late.
Remember?
No. Well,
Remember showed up and he was fucking flying on a rib
cage. Flew on some shit too.
Yeah.
But Phil Garcia showed up late and I want to say like it was like almost a whole day he lost.
and ended up doing all that shit on that dude's fucking chest.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know if like he just kicked in like something that he normally doesn't do or how fast he, I would just like to see, watch it. I bought that Pink Rose DVD that he has, but there it's time lapse, so it's like who knows how long it really
is. it's not in real time at all.
I mean, it is, but there's points to where he's just doing like some tedious shit and they speed up through it and play music.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm just would be curious to see that. And remember, dude, I thought he was slow like me. I'm like, cool, he's slow too. And then he surprised me at
he was so a much, day late and he did like a full color portrait of a girl with like, you know, light flesh tones, like light peach and nude blush and shit, you know, but a whole rib cage of a girl's portrait and then hair and then all these colors around her. And man, he was flying, but it was fully saturated and looked fucking great. And I was just like, Jesus.
Yeah. I'm glad that you brought this up about speed, because honestly, that's been something on my mind as well. I've actually booked time to get both of my sleeves covered up from this artist named Camille, who works at High Voltage with Kat Von D. It looks like I'll be hopefully being able to go out there as well. We're kind of in the process of figuring out dates and everything. But anyway, he'll post, you know, an unbelievable cover up, but it'll be like an entire outer half sleeve and it's a cover up and it'll be like 4 hours. And it's just like, bullshit. I don't even see how it's possible, you know? And then sometimes you'll see these people and you'll think, okay, their machines are screaming, right? There's another guy that I follow that is always talking about tattooing at like 5 volts, but he's like insanely fast, you know? And when I went through that phase where I was trying to be so technical on that super boring octopus, I'd have to do everything in multiple sessions because 4 hours into a portrait, I'd be up to the tip of the nose. You know what I mean? I'd have like an awesome boring mouth, but it looked just like it. You know, it just slowed me down. And I talk about diminishing return as I found myself and came back to how I felt like the speed I am comfortable at. I feel like I was getting the same quality. It might not have been so precision, but it told the same story. You know what I mean? But I had that expression there and I could actually finish the tattoo in one session if it was appropriately sized.
Wow. You know? Dude. And another motherfucker that's ridiculously fast and covers a lot of ground and heals good is your fucking brother, Pete, dude.
Hey, Pete's so fast. And like, honestly, Pete's really interesting because if he hears this, I hope this doesn't offend him. And I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. His tattoos might not have all of the bells and whistles of some other people's, but it has exactly enough to be like, that's a fucking solid, good tattoo.
Yeah.
And then when you see it healed, then you realize what a master Pete really is because that shit is rock solid. Mm. Like, he did a Bruce Lee portrait on a buddy of mine and it looks like silk. And the guy, and it's like, it's big, you know, it's like easily an entire hand. Mm. And the guy said it took Pete like 2 hours. And I believe it. That's
how Pete, black and gray or color?
Black and gray. But he will fucking... Pete is a smart man. He will print out a bunch of stuff that he wants to do, lay it out on the table. And when everybody else is bitching about not being busy, Pete is just churning out these fucking tattoos. They were just in Indiana when I was out there too.
Full leg sleeve. He took best of everything. Show. Yeah.
They fucking won everything. Every day they were winning shit. How do you do the entire outside of a leg in one fucking session? And then instead of being the next day, just being beat, fucking do it again, whatever, you know, smoke a bunch of pot, fucking win awards. It's like,
go get your mohawk.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if you look at it, you might go, oh yeah, Josh did that same reference too. And Josh has had a million more things. But at the end of the day, I don't know if it even fucking matters.
Yeah.
Because Pete's is just as powerful. And that's where I get fucked up. Am I the idiot? You know what I mean? Am I the fucking idiot? And I should be like, I don't want to say simplifying because it makes Pete sound like it, because Pete's phenomenal. I would get tattooed by Pete for sure.
Yeah.
But he's smart and knowing what to cut, you know? And it impresses me because I've known Pete for a long time. He's married to my sister.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I knew him when he was like a pretty good tattooer.
Yeah.
But he's really got that shit fucking figured out. Man, it's cool.
It is. I admire. I mean, you know,
Some we see other brothers in the industry, and yes, we can be that after we're like, what the fuck? And even discouraged or even like, man, suck. I want to hang up. After you get through all that, it's just like, man, I admire these guys.
Hmm.
You know, I fucking love it. I love that. There's, at least speaking for myself, there's always somebody better. And instead of me like trying to avoid them, I seek them out. I love when I run into them because it encourages me like, whoa, and I still got so much room to grow. I love that there's other bars for us to, that's been set for us to strive after.
Man, it's like, get out of your cul-de-sac, dude. There's an entire world.
And that's why I appreciate your attitude and humility, Josh. Because, you know, somebody, you're in the upper echelon, you're world renowned, 30 years in the game, and yet you still have that beginnership mindset. Yeah. And so why you brought up earlier, if you run into an 18, 19 year old kid who's doing something cool, you're going to go listen, you know, and I fucking love that mastery.
Yeah, I hope it never goes away. I always compare it to like being a kid and going to and watching your first magic trick.
Man,
when that magician flips that card around and holy fuck, it's your card. That feeling that you get, tattoos will give that to me. I'll walk around a show and someone will whip their shirt off and have a badass piece, and I'll feel like I'm fucking 8 years old.
Indeed.
And I don't want to lose that. I never want to lose that. You know what I mean?
Dude. It's so good. That's awesome. And those of us who do in seasons, to hang out with a guy like you for a day, we'll bring it back.
I hope so. That's cool to hear.
Yeah, man.
One of the coolest things someone said to me, I was at a convention and I was talking to my good buddy, Sean Herman, many years ago. And we just got into a conversation about everything, kind of like we're talking about now. And when we left, the girl that was in the booth that we just happened to be standing in front of, she came over and she's like, hey, I just wanted you to know, I eavesdropped on your conversation and I learned more in that 20 minutes of you guys bullshitting than I did my entire apprenticeship.
Damn.
Just from like the just us being real, you know what I mean? And it's like, I love knowing that, like, and obviously that's not true, but if little tidbits of inspiration hopefully happen, because, you know, I've been tattooing long enough that I've tattooed people that were just starting out and now they're like ridiculous tattoo artists. Mm-hmm. Kyle Cotterman was actually one of those people. I tattooed him a lot. You never know when that person's going to become a Kyle Cotterman, you know what I mean? Right. When they're going to become a hip, when they're going to become a Matt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Paul Booth tattooed me super long time ago and it looks amazing. And that, as far as I know, the last time I saw it, it was still in his portfolio.
Wow.
You know, so he's tattooing this 18, 19 year old kid that, you know, one day he would give me my first art show in his shop.
Wow.
I mean, like, what a cool fucking full circle. You know
what
I mean?
Brother. Yes. Yes. That's so good. Man, I love that.
Ooh. Yeah. I know people get like the 10 year burnout and all that, but I'm always telling people like, power through that shit, because we do have the greatest job in the world. And I want you to fucking skip to work. You know what I mean? I want you to be like, fuck yeah, I get to do this today. Just talking about it right now, I'm so excited. I got a client tomorrow that I'm super stoked on his work, and I'm going to do this rose. And I'm just, that's kind of why I brought up these techniques. I've been, how am I going to do it? What technique am I going to use? And it's like, at the end of the day, the technique is going to be badassery, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
So our relationship, we inspire vision with one another. When we hung out together, you got a vision of a podcast. Here we are, right?
Right.
You guys already know the program Tattoo Business Mastery exists, and you guys are a part of that too. Yep. I just got a vision in this conversation, something that I would like to put together for our listeners and for students, tattooers. For example, like, okay, I got to watch you and sit with you last week, right? And I watched you, and it because one, you're a great teacher, you're a great communicator, and even when we get the honor of sitting over and watching you, you have a gift to make us feel okay, safe, and comfortable to learn. Like, we're not, you know what I'm saying? Which helps the learning process. So, because most students can be in their head, like, I don't want him to piss him off or him think I'm dumb or whatever. But you have a gift of squashing that so we can get just straight down to the nitty gritty business, right?
Yeah.
And again, you made it look easy, and it was so inspiring. I couldn't wait, and I was actually glad I actually had a tattoo scheduled after he left to try it, right? And I already knew in my head what I was going to try and do, and I didn't. And so what I'm getting at, Josh, in that moment, man, I wished you were there.
Sure.
Right? Like, and or when you were tattooing hip and I was watching you, I wished I had a client right next to you in the same room in a similar piece that I could go and try and that you could oversee, right? So what I'm getting at is even if we started this out small, I'd love to put together like a VIP seminar. Say we just open it up and take six artists and where you fly in, these lucky six first round of guys can come to the studio. We can connect them all with clients and they're all doing like a similar opaque gray piece and want to learn your technique, your style. And for every artist to get to be trained by you in person, on the spot, and for you to oversee them and bounce from each of them, even put the gloves on and be like, nope, pendulum like this, and then let them do it, get the technique, hop over to the next guy. Because I feel like if I would have gotten to tattoo with you, that I might have, like, the learning curve might have, I might have been able to pick it up quicker.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Now, we all, tattooers, even listeners, you were talking about DVDs you bought. Our whole life, we've been watching, studying. There's stuff online. But to get the rare opportunity to have a true master in the flesh, in person, to teach you while you actually are in the doing, wouldn't that be an amazing opportunity? A dream classroom, like a two-day seminar. You get to tattoo all day with Carlton, teaching you, overseeing you. You get to marinate, go to bed, sleep on it, wake up, go back to the seminar room with a new client and do it one more time tomorrow to know you're going home with some of these things that are sticking, right? Wouldn't that be awesome, at least for the students?
Sure. Yeah. I think something like that would be super cool for the right students, for sure.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And maybe this podcast wasn't the right place to even bring this up, but it just,
no, it's, I think there's something there for sure. We have to be fleshed out the right way and everything.
Totally. Right, man. And I would be one of those students, even though maybe I'd help host the program, but I'll be in the class too. Yes, sir.
Well, no, it's just that saying you say, you know, you never cast pearls before swine, you know, so a vetting process of the right person, you know, which, and like when, you know, I went and did like Yogi, he used to do, he'd take on a certain amount of students and they would sit and watch him tattoo, which was cool. And we could ask him whatever. I even came like a day early. I had the honor to like break him down and shit. I was just happy to be there, dude. I try to keep gratitude with me. Yep. Next day was the actual, like, him tattooing the style he does, the mix up, which helped. And I went straight home and practiced it. But what even helped more from that was then to get tattooed by him and actually feel it. And because that shit stays fresh, you know, like I'm obsessive and compulsive like Josh is. So it's like I see that shit, I hear it, and then I have to feel it. And it's the same with Josh. Like now more so, I almost think that I got fed more this time you doing this piece than I did the first time you tattooed me with the hawk and I could sit there and watch it.
You might have been more ready now.
Maybe, because like the whole time I was watching him the first time, I was like, I know he's not going to leave it like that. And he fucking leave it like, I'm like, dude, there's way too much open skin. There's no way. And he's like, we're done. And I'm like, huh? Fuck it. We're done. And I'll be damned. Like it breezed. It settled nice.
Man.
And it made me, because that's just so hard for me to like not. Yeah. Fucking saturate everything.
Well, when Josh brought up when he goes in the mode of his tongue sticking out of the side of his mouth and he's like really just all that time in that earlobe, and you know, I feel like the perfectionism in you can fall over into that arena pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, and you'll almost spend too much time in an area because you're wanting to be the discipline, but then, yep, technically it's sound, but that area is boring.
Right. I'll make the neck on a portrait fucking solid as fuck, but it doesn't, the pupil might be a little cross-eyed because by that I've done wasted all my fucking concentration on an area that doesn't.
I think it's just a fine balance that I'm eternally searching for, you know what I mean? I'm not in any way claiming to have mastered it. I'm happy that I have a big tool belt, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can go in and pull those things out. But you know, you might just be the kind of artist that is not meant to, maybe, you know, you're a colorist at heart. So maybe you're meant to saturate the way you do. And maybe, maybe you should consider embracing that instead of fighting it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything wrong. There's different styles.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I love your tattooing. So, you know, obviously people are out there that like it. I'm getting tattooed by you. You know,
which is huge.
You can do it. Saturate that shit as much as you want. You know what I mean? Just man. You know,
jeez.
So, dude. Just so you know that, you know what I mean. So, like, I don't want anybody to ever think that I'm like, this is the way. This is simply the way for me now. It's not even the way for me always. It's the way for me now.
That's
right. Next year on the podcast, I might be like pendulum motion. Fuck that. Check
that's
this shit
right.
out.
You know that's I mean? Right. Yeah.
You know. So.
Hey, you guys remember when you used the pendulum?
Yeah, right.
Lame. Man.
Matt's like, I just fucking got it.
Oh, shit, man. That's awesome. Yeah, because we don't know what we don't know. But your attitude of openness, knowing that you don't know what you don't know, the odds of you receiving more and being able to see your own blind spots and they become revealed to you are like high probability with an attitude like yours of an openness to learn and grow. Always. And it's inspiring, man. I love it.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
I cut you off, though. Were you about to say something?
I don't even remember.
Gotcha.
It wasn't that important.
Okay.
I just think it's always evolving. You know what I mean? We're always learning. And I think that's the thing. Like, you know, Hib said, he's like, I'm either going to win or I'm going to learn. Like, to me, at the end of the day, if I can learn something, and if there's something I'm not happy with in my tattoo, if I can be honest with myself and say, in another session, I can tighten that up or adjust that, then I can sleep at night. Because for years I couldn't sleep at night because I just could not let it go.
Right.
But there's no such thing as perfection. Mm. You know, there's even the people that you really admire, like the things that you think they're doing perfect, they could point out all kinds of shit that they're unhappy with too.
Right.
We're all like, we're all the same way. You know what I mean? I got that DB video as well. And I guarantee you, if I sat with him and ask him about the tattoo, there'd be things he didn't like about that portrait. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why we're attracted to these really good artists, because it's an evolving journey for them as well. It's the same exact reason that I'm here on the podcast, because I was attracted to Matt's work early on because I could see that he has a motor.
Yeah.
And I knew years ago, he was going to be somebody. Mm. Even if it was music, if Matt wasn't tattooing, whatever he put that passion into, he'd be just as successful.
Man.
You know, because you've got a motor.
Man,
you're going to make it happen.
Dude, I like that. It's fucking beautiful. Did you make that up or did Nikki? Because I remember when we interviewed her, she brought up motor.
It's definitely something that Nikki talks a lot about.
Yeah.
You know, but like awesome. Without going too much into your personal situation, you're obviously have a beautiful family, you're a really good father, you've got a beautiful home, there's things that you've done for yourself through hard work.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, you know, the poem, you know, the rose that grew from concrete, it doesn't even matter where you come from, if you've got that drive, you know man. At the beginning of a lot of our episodes we say let's go. You wake up, let your feet hit the floor, and you say let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? You're going to fucking go.
Yeah.
But if you're a victim, if you sit there and you're a victim and the why me, you know, like Hip could have been like, why me? I was in jail. I was this. Yeah. My life's shit. I was homeless.
Yeah.
But look at it. He turned it around.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Turned it around. So.
Yeah.
It's inspiring.
Love that. It is, man. I love it. I love it. Well, and this encouraged me to not give up. And how arrogant of it, now looking back, how arrogant or ignorant was it of me to think I was going to sit down after watching him once and get just pendulum like he did
super
last
arrogant.
Week, you know what I'm saying? But anyways, I'm
unreal.
At least encouraged
unreal.
That, hey, and for all you listeners, like when you're trying on new techniques, it's okay if you're not amazing out the gate, right?
True.
I would be shocked if you were amazing out the gate. Like I would expect to not be.
Man,
you know what I mean? Watching my wife learn cosmetics, you know, since she's been around me, she just thinks she's just supposed to be amazing. And it's like, you're 7-8 months in and she's doing unbelievable. Her clients fucking love her.
Nice.
But it doesn't matter how happy they are because she's got that motor too.
Yeah.
But she's got to understand, you know, and I'm like, babe, 30 years and I'm still losing sleep. Not that it's going to take you 30, but it might be 5 years before you actually say, okay, I think I know what I'm doing mostly.
Yeah.
Tattooing is fucking hard. You know what I mean? It's fucking hard.
Man.
You know, skin, bleeding, different types of skin, different colors of skin.
Yeah.
You know, it's not pencil and paper. It's so nuanced. You watch your favorite tattooer, but if their hands are literally bigger than your hands, there's a nuance that you cannot match, right?
Right. Yeah.
Machines, like, even when I talk about voltage, it's like someone might say, oh, 5 volts. Well, different machine, different motor doesn't mean shit, right?
Yeah.
So you're trying to get all these things. You know, I bought the exact same ink, but this didn't happen. Well, I use this brand of needles that carries that pigment slightly differently. They're very slight, but all these little things add up.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It just falls to, like I said, tattooing is way hard. It's one of the hardest things I've ever done, you know?
You're right. You know, when you're talking about that, an example that I thought of was watching Kyle Cotterman, because, you know, him and I, you know, got to grow together in the early days a little bit. He holds his mag almost like upside down. You know, if some people are like straight on the skin and doing circles, you know, Kyle's hands always like this, his mag's pointing down and he's doing circles and moving upwards, you know, but no matter where he's at on a piece, his mag's always like this. Even if he's like working up, he's like doing circles almost clockwise and going up, you know, but I never see him go like this or like this or like this. It don't matter where his mag's always like this.
So if he's going upwards, he's basically pulling the needle backwards.
Yeah.
Right.
And, but backwards, but then on his down swoop, he's pushing it in.
Gotcha.
Or I can't fucking tell because he's going so fast. I don't know if he's doing circles up and down. Is he pulling up? Is he pushing more in? And I've sat there and watched him, but you know, you mentioned hands. His hands are twice the size of mine. I can even tell when he stretches, it's different than when I stretch. But I was just bringing up a scenario. This is a guy I've worked with and watched tattoo like that for years and would go try and emulate, and it just, I wouldn't get the same effect.
Yeah. I used to do that with St. Mark. I'd watch St. Mark effortlessly just scribble on someone's back and boom, an Indian portrait. And it's like, I try it and boom, scribbles.
Big pink ones.
Yeah,
big red chewed up scribbles.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, that's encouraging, though. Hip, how long? Because I watched you. It took you a while to switch to pendulum, huh?
Yeah.
One thing I think you got it quicker is because you did go turtle slow. Like, I don't care if it takes me 7 hours to cover this square inch. I'm covering it. And it used to be like torture for me to watch you. Right when you got back from Yogi's, I just wanted to blow my head and brain out because you were going so slow. So you have gotten faster, but I think once you figured out that tool, now you can use it quicker.
Totally can.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's just a matter of understanding the tool. You know what I mean? That's why you're seeing some fine artists come out of art school and then just learn the actual tattoo tools, and they're doing really beautiful work. You know what I mean? Now, I have a weird feeling about that because talking about tattoo guardians, you know what I mean? And like standing on the shoulders of giants, like I don't want to see, I want to see the tattoo industry move forward, but I really don't want to see us lose some of that old school mentality of who came before us. You know what I mean? And even a little bit of, I think people should be comfortable in a tattoo shop, but if it's your first time walking into a tattoo shop, I don't think there's anything wrong with being a little scared, right? Like the artist should treat you well and everything, but like that, wow, a tattoo shop. This has got some history and some stories and some weird artwork. And
that's right.
That's part of that magic for me.
Yeah, brother. You know? Yep. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. When people come in our house, we want them to be comfortable, but almost after we've provided that. Don't come in and be too fucking comfortable. And
You know, kick your feet up.
Yeah. Like, damn. Yeah. You know,
throw your dick on the desk.
Man. Right.
Yeah, I'm not doing that again.
Right.
Well, Josh, we made an exception for you.
Come in and tell you how long this is going to take.
Right.
Whoa. Oh, shit, man. This got me excited to tattoo again.
It does with me, but it's just my instant gratification. You know, I want it and I want it now.
Yeah.
But that's just my process. I've got to get to the acceptance point and then surrender to the fact that time takes time.
Yeah. And you're always going to find other artists that inspire you. You know, like whenever you finish a really good TV series, you know, you're like, what am I going to do without The Sopranos? Like, it's always, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, like we talk about these artists that we all admire. We've got an episode where we talk about them, but there's somebody out there right now that's doing something that's going to fucking blow your mind and it's going to fucking ruin your day. Mm. And it's happening right now. You know what I mean? That kid is out there.
Yeah.
And to me, it's exciting.
Yeah.
It's so exciting to see what's next. Have you guys seen that guy, Waller Montero? Fuck.
Well, he's one of those guys that will knock out a fucking leg.
A whole sleeve. Talk about saturation.
Right.
Oh my God. And so for me, I've grown to the point of where that used to fuck me up. And then eventually I'd come around and I'd go, okay, now I'm just excited. I'm excited for him. I'm excited for things that I can learn from him.
Yeah.
But it's that magic is still there with people like that. So
yeah. Cool. Yeah, man. I love his tones, the saturation, the layout of his designs are really cool.
His design is one of his composition is some of the absolute best I've ever seen.
Yeah, brother.
Who is this?
I agree.
Waller. I think it's like Walter without the T. Montero, I believe.
Go
to Instagram.
If you talk about him all the time, you just don't say his name the way Josh is saying it.
He probably calls him Walter.
I forget what you call him, Waller Monta. I forget now that he's saying his name correctly.
As soon as you see it, you're going to know. We'll have Mike put something up on the screen for our listeners.
Yeah. He's one of the guys that made you start asking questions, what the fuck are these Europeans doing? You know? Here you go, Hip. I'll just send it to you. But yeah,
composition wise, it's just ridiculous. The saturation is through the roof. There's a lot of videos and stuff that, you know, clearly a polarizer is being used, whatever. But there's a lot of pictures where you can see it in a little bit more natural light. So the polarizer is definitely showing you it at its best light, but it really looks good and saturated too, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And fuck this guy.
You know who we're talking about, right?
See?
His composition's great and it's all big and oversized, but he'll knock one of those out and what looks like a weekend. It's like,
because he's constantly posting new stuff. You know what I mean? And whenever someone's like 2 days in a row and it's like, what, 20 hour days?
Right.
Because I don't get that. You know what I mean?
Yep. And I'll tell you, we got to, I don't remember 2 years ago in Cincinnati, we got to see one of his pieces, one of those leg sleeves live in person.
Waller's pieces?
Yeah, and it was a Cincinnati show. There was a collector there. He had several pieces all from badasses in Europe, but he had a whole leg piece from Waller healed, and it looked great.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. It is amazing because, you know, we'll see badass fresh pieces and then run into it, not be as impressed. And sometimes they'll make you feel better, like, okay, dude's human too. But when you see like someone like Waller and it's healed, and it looks fucking great. You're like, wow, there is next new levels.
And then you know, I guarantee you could sit with Waller and he would show you some pictures when he was experimenting and it wouldn't have healed as well. And I think it's important to really own that in your own work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm very open about like, oh yeah, I tried to do this back in the day and it made a good picture, but it didn't really look that good healed. And so I think that's why I talk so much about my healed work because I experimented a lot in my long career, it's very important to me that tattoo is like, I want people to be like, man, I saw it in person and it was even cooler.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want that. You know?
Yeah. And as long as it heals well, most times we'll get that since we can never get a fucking good photo anyways.
Right. Exactly. You know? Exactly.
It usually looks better in person, you know? Yeah, man.
It's a lot to swallow tonight.
Yeah, I was about to say, Hip's night's been ruined now.
I know it. His week. Yeah.
But you got to give him credit, man. That work is beautiful. And he kind of came out of nowhere as far as I could tell. He just like, boom, you know. And I also really admire, like, I don't think you're going to go to him and get a unicorn. I think he's like, oh, you know what? You want this double-faced girl and some fucking lines and, you know, sit down.
Right. That's right. Yeah,
I do admire having the balls to do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to just
do opaques and then pick a color or tone as like a glow on one side.
Yeah. Know? It's innovative because, you know, we're getting so good technically that that's what it's turning into. It's a lot like the rest of the art world.
Yep.
It's like we used to look at artwork that would be a little better than mediocre, but tattooed really solid and it would blow our minds.
Yep.
Right. Now you have to have all of that. It's like, oh, it's incredible and it's tattooed amazing. It can't be one or the other anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think Waller's a really good example of that. I think Victor Portugal was an early example of like weird shit, like, you know, like shredded up pieces of paper floating in front of the dude's faces and stuff. And,
yeah.
But the face underneath all that shit was amazing and it healed amazing.
Man.
So, These are the giants, the shoulders we're standing on. This is what we're talking about with Tattoo Guardians, you know?
Yep. Big time. Big time. I don't know who's listening right now and hearing most tattooers who's listening know the name Joshua Carlton and probably have him on their list of inspirations in their career. I don't know who's listening right now that isn't inspired to humble themselves to go back to remaining a student. You know what I'm saying? How are you going to kick it with this guy who's a badass who is still like such a student and think you got shit figured out? You know what I'm saying?
I've always said it's the path. You know what I mean? It's always, you know, that's to me is the answer is on the path. Like I'm on that path forever.
Dude. You know? Thank you.
I'm not going to get there, but I'm going to have a fucking good time going.
Dude, you know? Thank you. Because what we were even saying last night, the destination is the journey.
Yeah.
The destination's in the journey. It's the journey. And yes, we hit these goals. And once we get there, but really the reward was who we became in the process to even be able to get to that destination. Like you said, the journey, the process. That is the destiny, the path.
There's a lot of weird side roads that we take to like try out this motion, this hand motion that didn't work. And then that path kind of leads us back to, there's a path over here that made me really slow for 2 years. It's like all these little weaving things and it just, you know, you're still getting closer to that. And, you know, it's only something I've got to experience after tattooing for so long where I can kind of really sit back and appreciate like, I'm doing shit that I learned 20 years ago that I forgot about, but now I'm like, oh yeah, that's been in my tool bag, and that actually works really well on a feather of a bird. You know what I mean? So I used to kind of be like, I have to tattoo like this. This is kind of what we started out with tonight.
Yeah.
But maybe that technique works really good on a woman's portrait.
Yeah.
But if you're doing a portrait of an old man and you want texture, that's not the best technique.
Yes.
And that's that kind of forcing yourself. I only tattoo this way. Mm. Get that tool bag filled with good, solid shit.
Yeah.
Work on mastering it. Don't forget about those things because that tool, you might need that crescent wrench for one tattoo one time, but it's what you need, you know.
And for our listeners right now that are inspired and think, dude, I'd love to grow my tool bag and learn more. I just don't know where to even go or to find new tools. Well, for you listeners right now, next time Mr. Carlton opens his books to give seminars, there you go.
Great place.
Fucking, you're going to get some tools.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hip and I have taken it, and I feel like I got to take it and the second one in person with him last week. And guess what? I need a third. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't even take a seminar from a man like this and get it all in one shot, you know? So for those of you listening and looking for a place to start, and I don't know when you're listening to this, but if you follow Mr. Carlton on and off, his books will be open for seminars. And if they
just reach out. I appreciate it for sure.
Man.
I will put it out there. I am picky. I'm not looking to teach somebody how to tattoo.
Yeah.
So if you're super new in the industry, like just kind of hang out with your mentor. But, you know, if you've been tattooing for a while and you're doing good, clean, scar free work and you like something that I'm doing and I can help, I'm probably happy to. But I do get people that are like just starting out and it's not for you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yep. You got to fucking learn to crawl before you walk.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no point in learning whatever that, you know, if you're not able to do a good clean tattoo, there's nothing I'm going to tell you, like, you know, that's going to help.
Yeah. So. Were you going to say something?
Oh, no, it just that it's always if, you know, you support that artist, you know, get tattooed by him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's one of the things I did. I'd go find people that I admire and get tattooed by them for sure. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, try not to be annoying and try to watch.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to travel to get good tattoo work. You know what I mean?
For like sure.
If you're in it for real, like step out of your just your local, unless you're lucky and you got a shop like Aisle 9 that's full of badasses. But I know a lot of places don't have that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you got to go to the next town or if you got to get on a plane, like, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I go to another country for the right person, for sure.
You know? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you have before.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So. Jeez, man.
Good show, guys. Good
yeah,
show.
Yeah. I see your fucking tool bag's been all shooken up over there, ain't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When Hip gets quiet and starts to go inward, he's fucking. Yeah. He's about to lay down and just be like, guys, I'm tired.
Well, you know, it's got the gears turning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer that I don't have nothing scheduled tomorrow. It's my consult day. Yeah. Building stencils and shit.
You trying to tattoo me tomorrow?
Fuck yeah.
Hey, I want a portrait of your stepdad.
Fuck yeah. Nice.
Your references, your tattoo.
Your stepdad's like just a whole bunch of people fucking get tattoos.
Right, like yeah. that Incubus CD where the dude just printed off masks and they made t-shirts of his stepdad. Like everybody's just getting tattooed.
There's a banner underneath of it. All of a sudden, for some reason, it says Salad Bar.
Yeah, Dallas Salad Bar or Stint Eastwood.
Right.
Nice. Well, awesome, guys. I think that was cool.
Josh,
I'm glad
we kind
of got to mention. Yeah, I'm super stoked I was out there. It was so cool to like, I know I mentioned it when I was there, but like just to walk down and see the studio after seeing it through just Zoom. So
yeah,
it's cool. It was a long, I don't know if it's just been a while since I traveled, but like it took me like a good 3 or 4 days to get back to normal. Mm. You know, I felt like I went to another country. It was weird. Yeah. I came home and I was just like, I don't want to do shit.
Right.
Like, even now, like I'm like way more tired than normal and stuff. Wow. It just takes it out of you. Well, plus it's been, it was like 111 fucking degrees yesterday here. Record breaking heat. Yeah.
Wow. So. But anyway, there's a big time change too.
Yeah. The three hours difference was a little rough.
Dude. That's awesome. We're looking forward to coming out there next, aren't we?
Yep. Next month.
Awesome.
No, 2 months.
Yep. Yeah. 2 months, yeah.
Yep.
I'd like to hear some of our listeners' thoughts on what a tattoo guardian is as well. You know, so if you're listening to this and you're watching on YouTube, write down in the comments what your thoughts are on what is a tattoo guardian, what makes somebody a tattoo guardian.
Yeah. I like it. Thanks for tuning in faithfully to us every single week. It's an honor to serve you all from our table. We're here for you, to pour into you and encourage you and to be vulnerable and grow with you. Hopefully tonight and every week is a blessing, an inspiration. There's a lesson in this somewhere for you. And it's our honor to get to be a part of your life in this way. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.